Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we have author Erin Rooks, and she's going to chat about her book, In Between Dreams. Welcome, Erin.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm happy to have you here. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, I've been writing for what feels like forever, since I was 14, so 12 years now? But more recently, I've started to get back into it. I wrote a murder mystery novel when I was 14, and I'm sure if I went back, it would just be embarrassing. But ever since then, I just wanted a creative outlet, and this is a great way to do it. About 5 years ago, when I was getting married, there was a lot of drama around weddings, because there always is. I don't know why. It brings out the worst in people. And I kind of just needed an emotional outlet, so I started writing a screenplay and a book at the same time, and that's not this book. That's where it started. And then once I started writing again, it was like it all came back, and I just was constantly thinking of new ideas and writing different stories. I have like 90 in my queue, but this was the book that I really believed in and cherished, and I fell in love with my characters. And so In Between Dreams was the one I decided to like really focus on. And yeah, so basically I've been writing for a long time. I do a lot of other jobs, usually in the healthcare industry, but when it comes to creativity, writing is my passion.
I love that. I really do. I think that creativity is in everybody. Everybody has their own way of being. Even people who don't think they're creative are creative.
Oh, for sure.
It's just, you know, it's just, it's inside of us. It's part of just being a person, a human. Do you feel that bringing your writing back and your creativity has made you feel happier and more balanced and joyful?
You know, I really do. I'm an emotional person, I'm just an emotional person by nature, and I really feel like emotionally it's kept me balanced, which has been really interesting. You know, like me and my husband do not fight at all, hardly, and I really, it's weird, but I kind of attribute that to my writing.
Do you journal? Do you pour everything into it? Maybe that's part of it.
I really just think, you know, my characters, they're emotional, and they get their fights out, and you know, obviously we fight about like little stuff or what we need to, but I don't have to get that excess emotion that I have that's not there for a reason. You know, that goes into my characters. My characters are having fights, and my characters are disagreeing, or, you know, my characters are like falling all over each other in a mess, but so I don't have to, you know.
They take care of it for you.
Exactly. They're very nice. That's very nice
of
them.
Yeah, they're very kind. Very kind of them, yes. Are you a big reader, and have you always been?
I actually haven't always been a big reader, but I have been over the last 5 years. I love reading. It really, it ignites, you know, that passion in you to write. Sometimes I'll speed through a book and I'll have to go back and read it because it's starting to like get your juices flowing, you know, as I'm reading it. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm ready to write. I need to go back to write. So I need to finish this book, and I'll have to go back and read it again and be like, did I miss something? But I love reading. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big reader, and I read all kinds of stuff. But also it's strange. I have this thing where if I really get hooked onto an author, I have to find out everything about them. I mean, I read every biography, interview. Like, one of my favorites is Jo Rawlings. I've gotten every book about her as well, and even classic authors like Jane Austen. I even got books about her houses. I don't even know why now, but, oh, this looks cool.
Ooh, it's that person I love.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I just want to find out more. And then sometimes I was reading Agatha I can't talk, Agatha Christie's autobiography. And she referred to another author, well, a couple of them, and I had never read them, and now I love them. So sometimes it's good because it adds to your reading list.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because they have their people that they love, and you kind of want to see their inspirations.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're reading and you have, like, somebody, who are your favorite authors, and did they inspire you to write, or was it because you already inspired to write that you read them?
So I have a couple, but and it's really interesting. It's all over the map. My two biggest are two completely different genres. John Green, who does YA, young adult, and Gillian Flynn, who does mystery. So mystery and kind of gore at some points. And both of them, as soon as I read one, I had to read everything, like everything they ever collaborated on, had to like watch their interviews. And I remember having to talk myself out of, because my book is not young adult. I remember having to talk myself out of it being a young adult. I was like, this is not a young adult book. Even though I'm reading John Green right now and I'm in love with him, I don't have to write exactly like him. And just, you know, I remember having to be like, okay, John Green can inspire me without, you know, taking over my writing style type of thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's we were talking earlier before the show, and I was mentioning Ray Bradbury, who's one of my favorites, and he was a wonderful man. But I don't write anything like Ray Bradbury. I mean, there's nothing in my style that matches him. But he was an inspiration, even though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Just because you don't write like him, you know, I'm sure that Mr. Green understands that you're not writing a youth novel right now.
I think he'll understand this one time, you know.
Yes, he'll forgive you.
Oh, good. Phew, I was a little worried.
I shouldn't speak for him because I don't even know him, but I'm joking, Mr. Green, if you're listening. do you love history, and does that have anything to do with your writing?
I do like history. I'm more into personal histories. So, you know, someone's personal history that goes, you know, not as far back. I've always loved history because it's like a story. It's like, you know, it's important to what happened to us and why we are doing this. And there is, in my book, I do go into the history of the triads in Hong Kong and in the States as well. So history is really important, but I'm more into psychology and why people do the things that they do. So history is important, but it does definitely take a backseat to just, I'm very character driven and psychology and people and things like of that nature.
I understand. When you're researching your history for the book that you're working on, do you like write notes and then, because I don't outline personally, but I do write like scads of notes, especially if it's taking place in a time period that I don't know that much about. I don't always use all the notes, but I do a lot of research. Do you research before you write?
Oh, yes. So I research, well, not usually before, probably in the middle of it. As I'm doing it, I'll outline what I want to happen in the chapter, and then I'll come back and, you know, I'll do all of my research and plug it in type of thing. And I'll write notes. I actually, it's really... for me with research, it was nice to have physical books, so I actually bought a couple books.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
To read through. Yeah, it's so nice to just like actually have it
in your hand,
there in front of you, and highlighting it and folding it over and post-iting it, putting post-its in it. So that's kind of what I did with that.
I love that. I love that you like the physical book. I mean, I don't know, but there's something special about a real book that you can't get on an electronic device. It's just...
Oh, definitely. You can't flip through
reaction.
The pages on a Kindle. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you can, but it's not the same.
No, it's not at all. Like, I want to go back. Oh, what did it say on page this? You know, like, go. I want to flip back really quickly. I don't want to have to, like, scroll through and then try to remember where I was before. Like, I love Kindle. They're amazing for reading fiction books, but when it comes to research or, like an informational book, like I'm reading How to Expect When You're Expecting, like, I want an actual book, a physical book to flip through, you know?
Well, also, this is going to sound funny, but I was doing research for my book, and it was taking – one of the periods that it was taking place was the Civil War, and I got a lot of books, but – I kind of got involved in the stories of the history that was happening while I was doing the research. So it's like I'm writing notes for my book, but at the same time I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. And you get sidetracked because there's other stuff, even though that has nothing to do with what your book is about. But just if you have a creative mind, you're like, ooh, this is cool.
Yeah, you get wrapped up in it for sure.
And you wouldn't get that on a Kindle because you can be so exact on Kindle that you're just not, it's not the same. The focus isn't the same. At least
oh,
that's
definitely.
How I feel about it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Why don't you give the audience a little taste of the book, just tell about it, and
okay.
What you'd like them to take away from it.
So my book is about a woman named Bailey in her mid-20s. She has an undiagnosed sleep disorder. Basically what happens is she'll fall asleep for a long periods of time, anywhere from 12 hours to, you know, 4 days has been the longest. She'll wake up within that time to take care of business that she needs to take care of, you know, going to the bathroom, grabbing something to eat, and then going back to sleep. But, like, for the most part, she can't get out of it. It's very similar to maybe mono versus it with narcolepsy. It's like mono and narcolepsy combined. And every doctor
wow.
thinks it's like a psychological issue. Like, it's really, really interesting. But when she's asleep, what happens is she has what she calls a sleep attack. She has these dream missions. It's very vivid. The dreams are different than they are when she's normally sleeping, just, you know, when she's not in the middle of a sleep attack. They're sequential. She knows these, they're the same four people are always in the dream, and she only knows them from this dream world. She doesn't know them in real life. They're not people she knows in real life, that she's never met them. So it's interesting in that aspect, but so that's kind of what it's about. And what I want people to take away, I'm getting ahead of myself. So the biggest, when I think about the book and, like, when I think about the most important portions of it and what I want people to take away, I think about what Bailey, the main character, does in these dreams. And she's an important part of a four-person team. And they're always helping someone get out of a sticky situation. And she's the comfort. And she's comforting them through their situation. And then there's Daniel. He's the logic. Then there's Sam there. He's the translator. But each person in the dream world has this really important role. And without the others, they all work together to make something happen or get someone out of a sticky situation or get someone to do the right thing. And because of that, it's kind of the idea. Sorry, I'm tripping over myself. It's kind of the idea that everyone has a purpose, and that purpose, like, you should do what you feel like you need to be doing and go with your purpose and do what you want to be doing versus what you feel like you have to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting concept. I think it sounds like I think that's really cool that you have the structure, because I don't know about you, but when I have dreams have a great impact on my writing. So to me, that makes perfect sense.
Oh, absolutely. This book came from a dream. Like, weirdly enough, I know, shocking, but I've always had really vivid dreams, and they affect my life, usually. Like, it drives my husband crazy because I'm wake up, oh, you won't believe what dream I had. He's like, it doesn't matter, it's not real. I was like, but it felt real in that moment, and I had it for a reason. And so that's kind of how it starts, you know, starts out and what it's based on. So
I think it's part of being creative. I think that's part of, especially if you are in the verbal or visual arts, dreams are really a major part of being creative in it. And I'm a very visual person personally. So when I'm working on my writing, I'm seeing it in my head.
Definitely.
It's whole vista. So that makes perfect sense to me. But I mean, it's funny. I think you always have to have a yin and yang. So you are the yin and your husband's the yang.
Oh, but definitely opposites attract in that aspect for sure.
That's cute. Speaking of family, when you're working, how do you balance family with work time? Because I know that, you know, family want your attention all the time.
You know, it's funny because my husband, I think he knows that I'm in that time where I just, you know, have to write when the jazz game is on and I'm not complaining. But so he kind of gets that aspect. He also knows when he goes to bed before me, which is very rare, and I'm still downstairs writing. He's very good about it. He's very good about, you know, allowing me to write and get out my time, and he knows that I'll come back to him. So, yeah, he's very sweet. I remember on the day that I finished my book, I was up until 3 a.m., and I finally finished it. I was, like, crying. It was very emotional. So, and I remember, like, the next day, he was like, you know, oh, you know, like, I was there with him, you know, talking with him and having conversation. We were watching TV together or something, you know, and he was like, oh, you're back. I was like, yep. He's like, I knew you'd be back. I just didn't know when.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love it. He sounds really supportive. That's wonderful.
He's very supportive. I'm very lucky.
That's amazing. When you finished your book, was it like your birthday or like Christmas or something? It's like, yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. Like, it was hard for me. I remember because it was in the middle of the night. I was alone. Like, so it was just me. I was like so stoked about it. I was like, I was like screaming internally like the whole time. It was so hard for me to go to sleep. Like, I had to like go drink some tea, chill out for a little bit, like really calm down. And then I went over to my dad's house the next day because he's like one of my many editors. But so he was editing the book with me at the time, and I went over there and I was like telling him about it, like shaking, so excited about it. Aww. So yeah, it was the best feeling in the world finishing.
That is amazing. How did you feel when you got the book itself, the actual book, your copy?
Was really surreal. It was really weird to see, like, it just sitting there. I just kind of, like, I got it, and I didn't know what it was for sure. So I knew it was coming, you know, but I actually thought it would be a couple more weeks. So I opened it up, and then I was just in my foyer, like, where where you walk into the house. And I just was, like, on my knees in my foyer, like, taking pictures of it and, like, calling people. Because it was so surreal. It was so weird to see my name on a book. And I just, like, didn't even – yeah, it was so weird. And then I looked up, like, and it was, like, 20 minutes later. I was like, oh, I'm just on my knees sitting in, like, my entryway. It's fine.
It's fine. No, there's nothing wrong. Just ignore me.
Luckily, I was home alone. No one was like, is everything okay? I was just by myself, so no worries.
There's something special when you get your very first book as a physical book and you see it and your name is on it, and it's like, oh my God. It you already know it, you know it's going to come, but it's just to hold it and see it, it's just a whole different, it's almost like spiritual.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like out of body experience.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. I agree. I just, there's nothing to compare to it. How did you publish your book, and what do you think of the different styles of publishing?
I did self-publishing through a company called Create Space. Have you heard of them?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, so they're
it's
on Amazon.
A great thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're really helpful. They help you self-publish in the most professional way possible. I'm really grateful for, you know, them as well. I struggled with trying to decide how I wanted to publish this book. It's been done since maybe early 2013, and I was working on querying before it was what I felt was done, you know, when I was just still editing through it, but like technically the last chapter had been written. So I struggled with this at first, and at the beginning of 2014, so the beginning of this year, I had this epiphany where I was like, if this book is not published within 2014, I might die. It just needs to be published. I feel, you know, like I was just like obviously a little melodramatic, but I was just like, this is what needs to happen. I need to publish it this year. So I spent until July really focusing on getting it where it needed to get go and editing it multiple times. And then in July we did the last series of edits with Create Space, and then it came out in October. So I made the mark few. my husband was talking to me about publishing, and he said something along the lines of, he was talking about our friend, and he said if our friend, his name's Tino, he said if Tino came out with an album, because he's in a band, he's like, if Tino came out with an album, would you, and he had done it himself, would you think any less of him? And I was like, no, I'd still be very impressed with him. Because, you know, writing an album is hard work, and it's amazing that he did it, and he's, you know, working to, you know, get it out there and have people listen to it. And he said, that's what self-publishing is in my eyes. So,
wow.
I'd never thought of it like that. Yeah.
That's really cool of him.
So that's kind of how I think about it now. Yeah, isn't that kind of nice? Isn't he such a good guy?
I like your husband. Nice guy. When you were looking into publishing, what did you think of indie and traditional, and as opposed to going self?
I have respect for all of them. I really do. It's the same way, just like I said, I have respect for any way you bring out music. I think doing the writing and getting it out there is important, and however you feel is best for your work, I think that that's important. I think, you know, traditional, some people think it's old school. I have a lot of respect for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think traditional publishing is just as important as anything else. So,
I
have a lot of respect for every.
To do it is good. I think. And to put anything, I just think it's very difficult today to get published traditionally. So,
oh, I completely agree. It's very difficult. Very difficult.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 1% or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, it's very expensive. And there's people out there that are, you know, a lot of people who are writing, publishing traditionally are kind of more famous than writers, you know,
mm-hmm.
reality people. And
oh, yeah, definitely. I see
that. Not talented writers. There are some reality people who are also authors or, you know, and stuff. I'm just saying that it's easier if you have a television or movie presence or you're a celebrity of some type to get traditionally
published. Yeah, if you're more visual.
Exactly. So, to me, I'm really grateful for indie and self-publishing, because it would have taken me years to get published if I went the traditional route. And I already published as an you know, writing magazine articles, so I know that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
So, what are you working on now? Are you working on a continuation of the story you did, or do you have new story that you're working on?
Yeah. So, I am working on. So, In Between Dreams is a trilogy, There's going to be the second book I'm working on now. It's called In Between the Lines, and then the third one is In Between Days. I hate giving up characters, so I love that I get to work with these characters and I get to be with Bailey for another two books. So I'm glad that we decided to do it this way, and I just didn't feel like her story was done, and I knew her story wouldn't be when I finished this book. I knew it wasn't over. She had more to say and do, and so I'm really glad to be working on that. So I worked on, I finished the outline, and I'm about maybe a fourth of the way through the first book. I know where we're going, but I'm not there yet. So hopefully I can get that done this year, or not this year, 2015.
Yeah, well, we're almost there.
Yeah.
It's not that
right
far.
Around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, it's December 2nd already. Can you believe how fast the year has gone? It's just crazy.
This year has been nuts. November was like basically a minute long, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And as the year goes by, the it goes faster. It doesn't seem as fast in January as it does in, let's say, September.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. As soon as you hit summer, it's like, bye, the year's gone. Yeah. The year's over, basically.
Just forget it. We don't have a lot of time left. Do you have any events coming up that you'd like to let people know so they can come see you either online or in person?
Yeah, so we are doing, if there's any local Utah residents, we are doing a small signing here at my parents' house. It's just going to be a little mixer. We'll have food and drinks, and I'll be able to sign your copy, or I can sell a copy, or we can just discuss the book, whatever you want to do. It's just kind of like a kicking off, you know, really the getting the book seen. And a lot of people are like, oh, sign my book. And I was like, you know what? Let's all do it at once. Let's just do it all at once. So that's what we're doing. So that's on Sunday from 2 to 6. So, yeah, I have that on Facebook. If you like my page, it's facebook.com/Erin Carooks. Pretty easy. Just my name. So
that's great. Anyway, it's been really a fast half hour. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Yeah, it was so good to talk to you.
Thank you. It was really fun. All Erin's information will be on my blog on Friday. And please check out her Facebook page for her event. I think it sounds really creative. Thank you for being on the show. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you.